This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
You gotta make me like you.
Exactly.
Because I don't like you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
convince me why I should give you a chance. But when you really like the guy, he doesn't have to do all that convincing. Mm-hmm. As long as he's showing up, hell, in some situations, he even gotta show up. And he's still getting his way, unfortunately. All right? But that's the reality of mm-hmm. it.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. Today, I mean, and I know I might say this a lot, but I mean this when I say it. We have a very special guest. My dear friend, Stefan Speaks is in the house. Stefan, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank mm-hmm. you.
He literally dropped out from Atlanta straight to New York and came to be on Quality Queen Control. And I am going to ask him all of the burning questions that you guys have submitted over to me. Let's just begin immediately. We're yeah. gonna do an update. We're just gonna get going.
All right.
Okay. So number one thing I wanna know is communication. When it comes to communication, I would say on both online and knowing someone interpersonally, what is enough communication? What is healthy communication? Like, what does that look like?
So it depends on the person. And that's why we have to establish early on what we need and what we'd consider healthy or enough communication. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm someone that if I met someone online, mm-hmm. right, social media or whatever, and I want to make plans to link up, I'm not really trying to have a bunch of conversations in between that time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To me, I'd rather wait till we meet in person mm-hmm. and see what the vibe is and see what, you know, if it really works. Because sometimes you can fall into a false sense of desire mm-hmm. through phone conversations and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You can have this great energy on the phone, but in person it's completely different. Mm-hmm. So to me, I would wait. But if I'm not communicating that clearly, and I've been guilty of that, mm-hmm. well, I can understand where the woman's going to think, oh, he's just not interested, or he's just not serious enough, or what the case may be, when it's like, no, that's not the issue whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Or if you're dating a guy who's a very busy guy, he may assume, well, she knows I'm busy. She already knows I want to see her, already made plans. Mm-hmm. Let me go handle what I got to handle in the meantime. Again, it's all because of the lack of communication where we can state what is appropriate and what isn't. Mm-hmm. But for some people, it's going to be, listen, we need to be talking every single day. For other individuals, it might be at least text me, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, once a day or every other day. It's just going to be dependent on those two individuals and what they consider healthy enough.
Mm-hmm. So one person has to state what they want. Is what you're saying.
That would be ideal. The reality yeah. is that no one is stating what they want.
Yeah.
Because people are just assuming. Mm-hmm. They're assuming and they're not taking the initiative to say, hey, let me make certain things clear. Mm-hmm. Also because they may not realize how it might be interpreted or misinterpreted mm-hmm. by the other individual. Mm-hmm. But ideally, someone should state it. Yes.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that because, I mean, I think it gets so tricky when it comes to online dating because there's this theory, I feel like, that people have where they're saying like, oh, I don't want to spend like all the time in between our date talking to you. Cause then it's like, what are we going to talk about in person?
That's also a real concern. Yes.
Yeah. But I feel like it feels awkward, right? Like if you're the type of person where you do need that communication, I feel like it's kind of awkward to tell someone, at least I feel that way, to be like, hey, like I would appreciate it if you kind of check in. I know the way I am. I want you to kind of know. Is that bad?
Yes and no. Yes, it is. I try to give a no, but
get me straight.
Listen, my thing is this. So if you don't want to have to state it, then you have to be considerate in not jumping to conclusions or cutting people off when you're not letting them know what the issue is.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, if you're going to be more willing to discuss it when it does come up, fine. Mm-hmm. But you can't hold it against them when you never made it clear to them. That's mm-hmm. kind of unfair. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, in expecting them to know, I do think it's bad because, again, people have to remember that we're living in a time that's very different than 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. 20 years ago, it was automatic that people talked on the phone daily, all these different things. Mm-hmm. We have so much more distractions. Social media has changed the dynamic a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, people are much more disconnected, mm-hmm. so they don't assume certain things that might be considered proper etiquette mm-hmm. in dating. It's not viewed that same way anymore. And it might simply be because the last few people they dated before you did not require that. Mm-hmm. Or may have told them, hey, that's too much. Slow down.
Right.
So now they don't know what's going to be mm-hmm. good enough or not good enough for you. So mm-hmm. again, that's why it's unfair to just expect people to know mm-hmm. without having a discussion about it.
Okay, fair enough. Did you hear that, ladies? Okay. My next question is, so I knew someone okay. whose boyfriend was living a double life.
Double life as in?
Double life as in he was talking to another girl the entire time.
Okay.
He went as far as giving them the gifts that they gave him. He re-gifted them to each girl.
Oh, wow.
I like, to me, that is beyond cheating. That's double life.
Yeah.
This person has decided to move in with this individual after she found out all these things.
Okay.
Do you think that this is someone that can change or has changed? Or do you think that this is a situation where this is just an untrustworthy person?
So in fairness, we'd have to find, like, I would have to be able to sit down and find out more details as far as, okay, what even led to this? What is this person's mindset on the issue? If they're saying, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore, I change. Like, can they even explain why that was a problem? I would need to hear a little bit more to mm-hmm. say flat out. But without hearing more, I lean towards, hell no, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And this is because that's just very blatantly disrespectful.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. to go as far as to re-gift each other's gifts. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Yeah. That's wild. That's why I said double life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me because I, like, without even going into so much detail, I found out that basically he told her that the reason he decided to, you know, keep the other person around was just because the other person, like, he didn't even know that they were really dating. Like, she would just be like, hey, I have tickets to this thing. Do you want to go? All these different things. But I'm thinking to my friend, like, I'm not going to bust her bubble, but, like, that's not true because they were thinking of moving in together.
Mm.
The craziest thing how my friend found this out was randomly she started posting videos of them on a social media platform. And someone from her, like, gym knew the girl that, like, her boyfriend was dating.
Yeah.
And that girl created a social media profile and messaged my friend. Mm. And that's how the whole thing started unraveling. I feel like, so the other girl was obviously that blew up the operation. She was obviously, she X'd herself out.
Okay.
So it made me feel like, why is he choosing her all of a sudden? Like, is it because obviously he doesn't have another option? It's like acting on consequence type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm very interested to see how it plays out because I would never trust someone again that has done this because you're going to do something like that again.
Well, and let me say this. I think the mistake that we make is that when someone violates the relationship, mm-hmm. we're focused on the surface violation and not the root issues to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
99 times out of 100, a situation like this, it's not going to be, oh, this man has been a perfect boyfriend. Nothing else was wrong. No other issues. He just did this one thing.
Right.
No, it's usually there's a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. Communication is not that great. Maybe he's not giving her proper attention. Mm-hmm. There's other issues that exist. So to me, even if he says, okay, I will no longer live a double life, if we haven't fixed the other issues, it's pointless.
Right.
So I think it's about addressing the other issues. Mm-hmm. And are those things fixable or not? You know what I'm saying? Because if they're not, then it doesn't matter. Because like you said, he may just be committing to her because he no longer has that second option.
Right.
And that's going to be a temporary thing because one day he may have a second option again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, if I was talking to her directly, I would be like, listen, like, let's talk about how the overall relationship was. And I'm almost willing to guarantee it wasn't a great relationship otherwise.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. So my next question is, do men actually need an ultimatum? Have you ever heard of that show, The Ultimatum? Have you ever seen it?
I've heard it. I have not watched it.
It's really, really
actually,
good.
Wait a minute. I think I may have watched one episode or one season. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I want to know, do men actually need an ultimatum?
Okay, so I think people don't like the word ultimatum.
Right.
Right? And they don't like the premise of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ultimately, yes.
Right.
I think people need to know there's a deadline. People need to know that, hey, if you are unwilling to take certain actions, this will lead to the end of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to make that clear in this one last final stand, so be it. The only thing I would argue is if you got to take it that far, again, what are you ignoring about this relationship?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to believe, and I have yet to see it, where you're having this amazing relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's great. You guys are on the same page.
Right.
But you feel the need to give an ultimatum.
Right.
That doesn't happen like that. You know what I'm saying? There's other things wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're so focused on the ultimatum. And so what happens is you'll have that woman give him that final ultimatum. Well, if you don't marry me, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
He finally marries you, but you're miserable married because he still doesn't give you the attention that you want.
Right.
The other issues are still broken. Nothing's really been fixed. You just attacked the surface issue.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, I do believe in the idea of an ultimatum, but we shouldn't even have to get that far. We should be addressing the underlying issues. And I feel like when the relationship is amazing, you won't need to go to as far as an ultimatum is concerned.
I absolutely agree. Like, there was like a theory that I saw on TikTok that my friend sent me where she was saying that be careful of guys that on your wedding day, they like take the cake and like throw it at your face. Because there's like a theory that they are like begrudgingly like,
really?
I gave you the ring. You happy? You know what I mean?
That's the first time I heard that one.
I said, oh, it makes sense though. It does make
sense.
What
if he's just a playful dude?
Don't put cake on my face on my wedding day. You're done. We're getting annulled. This is annulled.
I mean, it makes sense. It does make sense.
Like my makeup is ruined. What's going on? Have you ever heard of, I don't know if she's a relationship coach or not, but you ever heard of Spirit?
No.
Her name is like Talk to Spirit, I think on, I think that's her actual name. That's why Instagram. So she had, I saw something that she posted a while back talking about suitability versus compatibility. And she gave an analogy of, let's say you are a square and your partner is a circle. No matter how much the circle expands, there are four corners that are left untouched. So I wanted to ask you, like, what is your opinion or your theory on suitability versus compatibility? Because in my perspective, I kind of feel like you can feel like you're compatible with a lot of people because when I think of compatibility, and I'm sure I'm wrong about this, but I think of chemistry kind of little bit. So I feel like arguably, wouldn't you say you can have chemistry with a lot of people?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you're compatible with them,
correct,
nor does it mean that they are suitable for you.
Correct.
So what do you think about that?
All right. So I don't know how she completely defines suitability. I will say that, yes, compatibility to me is more of a on paper logical deduction of these two people should fit together. They're compatible because they come from the same background.
Mm-hmm.
They like the same things. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe if people use astrology, they have certain,
yeah,
you know, they're compatible because they're supposed to fit. But like you said, you can be compatible with millions of people. It's like going on a dating website. They match you with millions of people, mm-hmm. or thousands or hundreds, whatever. But you may not actually have a real connection, right. with those people. Now, chemistry is the next level of that. And I believe that, again, chemistry is something that you can have with a lot of people. People who are naturally friendly, outgoing people, or people, right. who know how to talk to individuals, get along with almost everybody.
Yeah.
So it is very easy for anyone to feel a chemistry towards them, because chemistry for a lot of people is essentially attraction plus I like your personality.
Oh.
All right. When those two things meet, you feel like you have chemistry with this individual.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, that doesn't mean you are compatible, and it doesn't mean you have a connection with this individual. Mm-hmm. That's the deeper level. So I do think that people have to be careful with just trying to be compatible. They also have to be careful with just going off of chemistry as well. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a big believer in connection. There has to be that deeper connection. And maybe that's where she was going with the suitability.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that deep, you two fit together.
Yeah.
It's on a deeper level. And, mm-hmm. and even spiritually, I always say connection is your spirit recognizing its match.
I love that is very beautiful. Do you think that men are aware of how to tap into their feminine energy?
Hell, because no.
Okay. Yeah, let's just get to the meat and potatoes.
Well, you know what, well, finish first, and I'm gonna clean that up a little bit,
because we know that both genders have masculine and feminine. But I just want to know, like, how aware are, because I almost feel like some of the, I hate to say it, but the Gen Zs, like, they're like very feminine. I'm a millennial. Yeah. So it's just like, I feel like, oh, that's like very feminine kind of. And I'm not sure where the line is. And I just don't know what that looks. I feel like we as women don't have an idea of what that looks like in a healthy way. A man tapping into that feminine energy.
Okay. So I think I'm viewing it differently from the standpoint of tapping into it and walking in it. Okay. Right. So as you mentioned, the Gen Zers are more walking in it.
Yeah.
All right. It's kind of what they are right now. It's who they are. But tapping into it is that man who can be masculine, but when necessary, tap into his feminine energy.
Yeah.
He can pull from that energy when it's appropriate, when it's best fits the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the average man struggles with that. Mm-hmm. People in general struggle with learning how to balance the energies properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning how to walk in one dominant energy, but then calling on the other when necessary. And so it's something that hasn't really been properly taught.
Right.
A lot of men don't understand it. A lot of men view it as weakness when they're tapping into that feminine energy, but it's like it's necessary, mm-hmm. especially for the sake of a successful relationship,
mm-hmm.
as well as for the sake of raising children.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's going to be moments where you might have to be able to tap into that feminine energy a little bit more for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But again, when you're tapping into it, you know how to go right back to your masculine.
Right.
And I think that's where the struggle is, because a lot of guys are just either very feminine or they're very masculine.
Yeah.
And there's no in between, or no proper balance.
I absolutely agree with that. I mean, yeah, there's just too many extremes. And like, with that being said, I feel like even for women, it's like, you have to know, like working, you're more in your masculine. And I even think as a society too, when we have this whole gender war thing going on, where it's like, some guys think like, oh, women these days are all too masculine. But when we get to the root of things, I feel like there are so many underlying issues, like whether you grew up in a single parent household or, you know, your environment, like, you know, maybe your culture even, that affects how you act out on those energies, because maybe you grew up in an environment where that wasn't cool or it wasn't accepted. Like, who even knows?
And that's true.
Yeah.
But people have to understand it's your responsibility, mm-hmm. to address and correct that.
Yeah.
You can't lean on that excuse or that explanation, mm-hmm. as a reason why you struggle still as an adult with this issue. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if a woman said, well, these men aren't masculine enough, right? And a man says, well, you don't understand our circumstances. We were raised in a single parent household. We were raised in certain environments. Is that going to make you say, oh, okay, I get it. Let's go. Let's be together now. No, like it doesn't. Yeah. You okay, bro? Fix that. That's your issue. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you know it, that you're aware of it, but you have to correct it. That's on you.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was a quote that Will Smith gave pre-slap, where he was saying it is not our fault. The things that may have happened to us, but it is our responsibility to fix it. Yes. So that's what that reminded me of. So we were kind of briefly talking about this before we started filming, but do you believe that people can grow on people with little physical attraction to them?
I don't believe in the whole growing. I don't believe the growing to be attracted, the growing to love mm-hmm. someone. And again, even if, because there's exceptions to every rule.
Yeah.
So even if someone wants to make the argument that that has happened to their parents or their friend or whoever, it's extremely risky to get romantically involved while hoping for it to come about.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you say, okay, I see potential in this person. I'll be friends, genuine friends, mm-hmm. right? And through that friendship over time, an attraction developed or they became more attracted to you, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And now you want to move forward. Cool.
Right.
That makes perfect sense. But to do it and then hope it comes, nah. That's a game you should not be playing.
I agree. Because to be honest, I've always felt, and I've always said this to my friends, I am not the type of person where people can grow on me. And I feel like I've kind of experimented and it confirmed what it is that I was thinking, where I was just like, yeah, no. Like, I literally can't. Because even to your point, like, you know, if you are starting at a certain number on a scale, like you said, and it gets knocked down a couple notches, I started from a 4.
Exactly.
I'm not going that. Like, I'm not doing that. It doesn't make any sense. And so I also saw, like, on a podcast, I think you did with Lisa Bilyeu.
Okay.
Such a good, oh my God, that was such a good episode. And you were talking about that. What you've witnessed in your experience is that people that have that like automatic connection tend to last longer than the people that like kind of grew on each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because in most cases, if not all, they didn't grow a connection. They learned how to tolerate each other.
Right.
They learned how to be comfortable or how to be conditioned to that other person's presence. Mm-hmm. So now, and the deeper you get with someone and the more time you spend with them, it becomes harder to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're finding more reasons to validate just staying and just staying and just staying. And before you know it, yeah, it's been years, but it's not years of a quality relationship.
Right.
It's just 2 years of people just existing with each other.
I agree with that. How long do you think the courting phase should be?
I don't put a time frame on it. Mm-hmm. To me, it's about if you both did your due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, when people say, well, you can't really know someone in X amount of months or a year, that's not true. You right. can if you ask the right questions, have enough conversations, dig deep with each other, not ignore the red flags, because many people, they see the issues. They just don't want to address it. They don't want to face it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if we did what we're supposed to do, we could have our answer within months, possibly within weeks, depending on how intense you go. Now, granted, yes, it's always possible that someone's going to pull out something out of their sleeve that you never saw coming.
Right.
That's always possible. But in most cases, when people don't really know that individual, it's because they didn't do their homework.
Right. I agree with that. And I think that in general, it just gets so weird because half of the time we're not even courting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever even happened to that, you know?
You want to know what happened?
I want to know what happened. What happened?
A lot of your fans aren't going to like this answer, but
you better tell us the truth. You better speak. Stefan speaks.
Let me tell you what happened. Once upon a time, men believed in or accepted. I'm going to say they accepted.
Okay.
They accepted the idea of courting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, remember, if we go even further back, your only path to getting sex, food, consistent intimacy from a woman was marriage. It wasn't you got to be boyfriend, girlfriend forever. No, it was you had to court and show that family, not just the woman, the family, that you are serious about marrying this woman.
Right.
Okay. But all right, we went past that. We got into relationships. So one, the expansion of the romantic boyfriend-girlfriend relationship undermined a lot of stuff.
Right.
It undermined marriage, and I believe it undermined the courting phase as well. Mm-hmm. Because now what people are doing almost is using boyfriend and girlfriend as almost like the courting phase. It's almost like, all right, I like them. I'm not sure about them. I'll just make them my partner, and let's see where this goes.
Right.
Okay? But to get more to exactly what I think happened, what I believe happened, is that a lot of men used to court. And in that process of courting, they would find out that that woman slept with someone else. They would find that woman friend zoned them. They would find out that woman either never had interest or lost interest. Whatever it was, it was not getting the men the results. And they were hearing about other men who were doing 10 times less, but getting 10 times more. All right. So for a lot of guys, it's like, why would I continuously put in that effort? They kept hearing too many stories. It's the same way you can have one guy taking this girl out to fancy restaurants, doing all these things in a genuine effort to show her that how much he likes her. Mm-hmm. And the next dude just had a Netflix and chill, and they getting down and doing everything that he wished he could do with this girl. And then he finds out about this, and it makes a lot of men say, what's the point?
Right.
What's the point? So I think the value of it wasn't honored on both sides.
Ooh.
And that contributed to it going away. It just feels like, why would I go through all of that when I... And here's the reality. Women expect the man that they don't like to do more than the guy that they do like, all right? Like, if she really likes him, she's giving him a free pass on a lot of different things.
Oh, yes.
But when she's, like, on the fence, that's where the courting comes. That's where you got to go all extra and you know what I'm saying? And that's what dudes were noticing and picking up on. Mm-hmm. And what happened is, with social media, the word got out a lot faster. See, when we didn't have social media, we didn't hear all these stories so much. Now you're hearing these types of situations regurgitate all the time.
Yeah.
So men just feel jaded and just like, there's no point in me doing all that.
That's true. And I can honestly say from experience that it's because it feels like, you got to make me like you.
Exactly.
Because I don't like you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
convince me why I should give you a chance. But when you really like the guy, he doesn't have to do all that convincing. Mm-hmm. As long as he's showing up, hell, in some situations, he even got to show up. And he's still getting his way, unfortunately. All right. But that's the reality of it.
No, that is so true. I want to know, how do you determine what a man's true intentions are? And when is a good indicator of taking things to the next level? Whether that be intimacy, meeting friends and family, etc.
Okay. So I always say, I think at the foundation of it, and it's a perfect, this is a perfect point to make because we were just kind of talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Before you try to evaluate what his intentions are with you, you have to ask yourself, do I really like him?
Right.
All right. Because if you don't really like him, his intentions mean nothing. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
This is where a lot of women mess up. A lot of women will choose to be with a man or accept being with a man on the basis of, he likes me so much, even though I'm not really into him like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a recent DM of a woman who dealt with a man, I think, for 7 years, since she was 19. And she said she never was really attracted to him like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was all in love with her. He was taking care of her, doing all these things. So she rolled with it. You know what I'm saying? And now it's kind of all blowing up and she feels like she wasted so much time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of women make that mistake because what they don't realize is that's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not really into him, this is going to fall apart at some point and it's going to get bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure, okay, you're really into him, number one, or you have genuine, real desire and interest.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, I think the great, I don't want to call it a test, but the great way to see if a man's serious about you is not in how he does things on his own, meaning it's not on his own intention of, like, you know, calling you every day or whatever the case may be. It's how does he handle when you express your feelings and your desires? So when you say to him, I want more of this, does he step up or not? Because let's be real, women have dealt with enough men where when they told him what they wanted, all he did was ignore them, make excuses, dance around it. And for whatever reason, she continues to deal with him anyway, but he never actually improved his behavior. Mm-hmm. So he's showing you he's not serious. Mm-hmm. But the guy who's serious, as long as you tell him, mm-hmm. he wants to do it. Mm-hmm. He has no problem doing it. For guys who are serious, their dilemma is, I just don't know what she actually wants.
Right.
I don't know what works and what doesn't work. He's in his head trying to overanalyze the situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But if he just had the blueprint, he would follow it.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah.
So to me, it's when you express yourself to him and then see how he handles that. Mm-hmm. As well as just his willingness to even hear you out and let you express your feelings. Again, a guy who's not serious does not want to get into deep conversation of feelings. Like, we're not trying to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? If a guy's just trying to have fun, just trying to have sex, mm-hmm. he's trying to keep this away from deep emotions and all that as much as possible.
Yeah.
He wants to keep this surface level. Let's just have fun. That's mm-hmm. it. Now, I'm not going to say there aren't any emotionally unhealthy men mm-hmm. who may generally want a woman but doesn't know how to handle those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that case, why would you want to move forward for a man who's emotionally unhealthy and unwilling to fix the issue?
Right.
So either way, you still can't move forward with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you might make an argument that he is serious about you, mm-hmm. but he is not ready to be with you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But a guy who's willing to hear you out, have those conversations, talk about how we can make things better, that's how you know he's for real.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I want to know, like, how soon is too soon? Like, you know what I mean? Steve Harvey said 90-day rule.
So, listen, let me first get out the way. If anyone's a believer, we all understand
yes.
that waiting till marriage is the ideal
yes.
situation. But I always say and acknowledge, most people aren't going to wait. Mm-hmm. They're not going to wait that long. You know what I'm saying? So, aside from that principle, I always say it's about when you know what you're getting yourself into
mm-hmm.
and you're okay with whatever happens next.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a lot of women, they have sex hoping it leads to more.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping it will make him like her more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, when that doesn't happen, she feels cheated. She feels devalued.
Mm-hmm.
She feels used. You know what I'm saying? That's a very hurtful experience.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a woman who said, okay, I like this man. I desire for this to be more, but I'm only going to sleep with him today because you actually want to.
Mm-hmm.
You want to experience it. You want to know for yourself, whatever the case may be. Now, even if things don't work out, you don't feel as bad about you taking that step.
Right.
Because you had a different reason why you did it. You know what I'm saying? And you still achieved that goal
mm-hmm.
for whatever your reason was. Okay, well, now you know what it feels like with him. Or
yeah.
you had that itch scratch, if that's what it was for that night. So you want to make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into. So are we even on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
Are we heading in the same direction?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, you're okay with whatever's going to happen next because you're not guaranteed this is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I know some women don't like hearing this, but it's just the reality of it. You have to also be mindful that if you have sex before there's a true establishing of we really want to be together,
mm-hmm.
then understand that that sex can also sway his interest in you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And women don't realize that. And it may not be, because everyone thinks they're great in bed. Let's just be real. Everyone swears they're putting it down in bed. Men
yeah.
and women, okay? Mm-hmm. But the reality is that even if you are great in general,
mm-hmm.
you may not be great for that person.
Right.
And there may be certain things missing from that experience that causes a lot of hesitation to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate thing is a lot of people, rather than discuss it,
mm-hmm.
they just figure, oh, okay, you know what? This isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But we have to be mindful that, yeah, if we're going to take that next step sexually, it may be used against us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why, again, you have to be prepared for whatever happens next.
I love that you said that because being prepared for whatever happens next is so important. I personally feel like no one can really fake the funk for like past 30 days.
Mm.
Like you're going to see a lot. I think the overall theme that I'm noticing is that conversation, communication
yeah.
needs to be had. And when you're in a healthy dynamic, you would be shocked the feelings that arise when you have the floor to actually talk about these things. Because
maybe, like you said before, people have shut them down in the past or what have you. There have been a multitude of reasons why someone may feel uncomfortable. But as it pertains to intimacy, from a woman's perspective, it feels like a lot of guys do things just to get to that finish line, and they'll say anything to even get to that finish line. So it becomes like you almost can't tell what is going to make this person stay or not, because there's the argument of, oh, well, I got with this guy, the anomalies, who I don't speak to the anomaly, but okay. Like they say things like, I got with my boyfriend like this the first night and we're still together. And then you have other people that are like, I waited like 2 months and he still was acting funny after. What do you do then?
Well, so again, I would argue that, like you said, the people who slept on the first night and they succeeded, those are exceptions to the rules.
Yeah.
For every one story of success, I got 10,000 more of complete failure and disaster. Yeah. Okay. For the person who waits 2-3 months, again, mm-hmm. it's not about how long you waited. Did you do your homework? Mm-hmm. Were you asking the right questions? Did you address all red flags or did you ignore certain things? Mm-hmm. A lot of times, especially with women, they see it, mm-hmm. but they're afraid to say something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then I also want to throw out there, here's the other thing that people have to recognize. When there are genuine feelings on both sides, I would argue, and then two people get sexual, it is very likely to not be the greatest performance initially, okay? Because with the heightened feelings, mm-hmm. there's heightened anxiety. People are more in their head, mm-hmm. all right? A guy who doesn't really care about the woman, he can just be free, do whatever. He might be very masculine. Mm-hmm. Women will like that. Mm-hmm. But when he actually is into her, he might be very delicate, almost overly delicate, okay? he might be very anxious. He doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, he's nervous. It's the first time he may have been dreaming about this moment and is finally here. For her, because she's actually into him, she's in her head. She's thinking about, what is he thinking about me? You know, what's he gonna think about me tomorrow? Is he gonna go? How am I performing? There's so much more she's concerned with. Yeah. And that's why I did a video one time about like why bad boys are better in bed. And one of the arguments I make is that because in the situation where two people do not belong together, mm-hmm. there's not that deeper feeling involved that blocks the ability to actually just have sex. It's almost like when a woman's not into a man, mm-hmm. but she has sex with him, it's like he's a life-size play toy. Life-size dildo, basically. Mm-hmm. All right. So she's just actually just focused on mm-hmm. pleasure. She's not worried about all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's so much easier for her to actually enjoy the experience. But if she's not aware of that, she thinks it's because he's good. Mm-hmm. No, it's because you allowed yourself to enjoy it more. Mm-hmm. But yes, there's a level of he could be better when he's not letting his emotions get the best of him. But when he's really into you, mm-hmm. that can be difficult at first. Mm-hmm. So I think this is why, again, it's so important for people to understand we can't have this microwave mentality when it comes to intimacy. Mm-hmm. If you guys have done the homework, you're really into each other, there's that foundation there, you have to be willing now to talk about these things. And I think if you talk through it, mm-hmm. then you can see if there's truly a chance for this to improve or not.
So I'm kind of curious, what do you do when you feel so connected to somebody, but they're not connected to you, or even vice versa? This really fascinates me because I have never understood how somebody could be so into something and they are so blinded by how they feel that they are not realizing the other person just isn't into it. Mm. How does that happen?
I hate having to answer this, but due to what's coming to mind, mm-hmm. and what I feel like I need to share. So in my position, all right, and I don't want anyone that's watching this to feel bad, but I've had a lot of women who've come to me believing I'm supposed to be their husband, who've come to me feeling like they have that connection
yeah.
with me. I don't know this person. We've never talked before.
Oh.
But they are very invested in that belief. And so what I've learned is that I've even had one time where a woman, it used to be I'm not going to give any details because I don't want to like put her out there. Mm-hmm. But it was a woman who would show up at my shows, and at the end of the show, she'd be like, "Oh, I'm ready for our date." And I'm like, and she was serious. And I'm like, I don't know you. What are you talking about, right? And what I found out was She was taking my emails and posts as if I was speaking to her. And she really believed it was just directly to her.
Oh.
Okay? So people have this way of internalizing things and fantasizing about it in a way that they start to believe it. Yeah. It starts to become their reality. It's that strong. Your mind is a very powerful thing. Yeah. And so now you start to create this world that exists to you, even though it's not existing anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And you buy into that. And so if they can do that with someone that doesn't even know them, mm-hmm. what do you think people can do with someone that they are engaging with?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because now they have more to feed mm-hmm. that fantasy. They have more to use as fuel mm-hmm. to their desires and what they want to believe is the case. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's why, like, I used to always say, when a guy likes you, mm-hmm. he's looking for anything to validate that belief that you like him back. All right. So if you smile at him, uh-huh. oh, she like me. You know what I'm saying? If you wave at him a certain kind of way, he wants to believe it. Mm-hmm. He's trying to find some way. So that person who feels connected, they've created that in their mind. And it's mm-hmm. not connection. It's attachment. Mm-hmm. It's infatuation. It's yeah. obsession in some cases. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And they just convince themselves of it because they're replaying it day after day in their head.
Yes.
They're living it. They're consumed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it becomes their reality.
Wow. That is so powerful. Now, have you ever heard of the term? Like, when I was younger, there was this lady. She said to me, you shouldn't go after the guy that gives you butterflies. You should go for the guy that just, like, makes you feel very grounded. There seems to be this perception that if you're getting butterflies and someone's making you, like, anxious and giddy, that that's not the guy you should go for.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
Oh, I'm so happy you don't, because I need some butterflies.
I don't agree with that. I don't think it's about whether they do or don't give you butterflies. But I definitely don't think we should eliminate someone because they make you feel like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's a good thing. I think that's a defense mechanism when people say, mm-hmm. don't go for that kind of guy that makes you feel butterflies and stuff like that. Yeah. It's the same way some people say, choose a man that loves you more than you love him. Mm-hmm. I think that's horrible advice.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if you're not really into this guy, how long will this last? So I'm sure you hear about the stat that gets thrown around the internet a lot. 70% of women initiate divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of various reasons for that. But one of the big reasons is because a lot of women knowingly marry the wrong guy, hoping it can, like, become right.
Right.
Hoping that it can grow on them. Mm-hmm. Hoping that everything will eventually get better. And then it never gets better. Mm-hmm. It gets worse. She finally hits her boiling point, mm-hmm. and then she can't stay there anymore.
Yeah.
She has to go. That's what typically happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm so adamant about telling women, do not pick a man mm-hmm. that you're not really into. You can't sustain that. Mm-hmm. Nobody can. It's going to fall apart, and it's going to be really messy when it does.
Okay. What is a red flag that women should look for that they tend to overlook?
A red flag women should look for that they tend to overlook. Damn, that stumped me. I'm mm-hmm. not sure.
Right? I was like, ooh, like, that's an interesting question. So that
red flag they tend to overlook. Nothing's coming to mind.
I guess it really depends on the person, right?
I'm gonna tell you the red flag women should look for that they tend to overlook. Not listening to their own damn intuition.
Yeah.
That's it.
That
is the number one red flag that women overlook. Their intuition is telling them this is not it, and they're still trying to find reasons to entertain the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then it gets themselves into trouble. And that's why, like, again, I don't want to ever dismiss the idea that some people weren't blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, when a woman says, well, I didn't know, it's just not true.
Right.
It's not. I even tell you, the other day I was speaking to my membership program and they brought up the idea of some men being down low, you know,
yeah.
homosexuality. And I was giving them a story of how I spoke to this guy who wrote, like, he was the first one to write a book on being down low. And he would tell me how women knew he was gay
mm-hmm.
or bisexual, as he called it. yet they still want to marry him.
Yeah.
They still want to be with him. They did not care. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you those same women, if they got with him mm-hmm. and then it got out to people that he was living this life, mm-hmm. they would say, oh, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. No, you did.
Right.
You did.
Right.
But you can't go around telling people mm-hmm. I knowingly married mm-hmm. a guy like this.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing when there's certain red flags and there's certain issues, no one wants to say I knowingly ignored this.
Yeah.
Because now they can't get the same sympathy or understanding. They, you know, they don't get the free pass that they would if they said, I never saw it coming. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not going to say no one's ever been fooled, mm-hmm. but I think ignoring your intuition is the biggest, biggest red flag that women have to stop ignoring.
Okay. So I just want to know my last question. Did you see that clip of Tyler Perry that went viral?
I did.
So what are your thoughts on it? Just to give a little context, there was a clip that went viral of Tyler Perry where he was basically saying that, from my interpretation, that woman should be okay if a guy can only afford the light bill, or I don't even remember what else he said because I briefly saw it.
And you were disgusted when you saw it.
Yeah. I was like, what you talking about, Mr. Billionaire? What is going on? What is your opinion of that?
All right, so going off the clip, now let me make clear, I'm a man who does not believe in 50-50, mm-hmm. all right? I believe in men being protectors and providers. However, in watching that clip, I'm still struggling with the perception of, is he saying all this man can afford is a light bill, mm-hmm. or all you're going to ask him to pay is the light bill because you make so much money, right? Mm-hmm. But let's go with the idea of all he can afford is the light bill. I can never agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I do think there has to be a consideration of, do you want lifestyle or do you want love?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's more important? Now, I don't believe in dating a completely broke man. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in dating a man who cannot at least take care of himself to begin with, all right? He has to have some level of financial stability. And to me, being able to take care of yourself is that first level to accomplish, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's unfair and unreasonable to expect any woman to accept less than that into their life. I think what people are looking at incorrectly is they're confusing love with relationship.
Yeah.
Like they'll say, well, everybody deserves to be loved. Yes, you can be loved by your mother, your sisters, your friends, mm-hmm. your pets. But that doesn't mean you deserve a romantic, committed relationship. You have to qualify for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't take care of yourself, it's not time for that then. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Focus now on getting to that level first. But I do think I also think what Tyler Perry was getting at is that there's a lot of women who are already making a lot of money. They're at a place where their money is enough to live the life they want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to find men who make as much or more at that level mm-hmm. is extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So again, is it worth sacrificing the love that you could have because he doesn't make that kind of money
mm-hmm.
because you're trying to hold on to the lifestyle?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a personal decision everyone has to make. And what do they think is worth it at the end of the day?
Mm-hmm.
You can't take all these material things with you. Now you can't take relationship with you either. But which one will you be happy with? And my thing is this, if you're happy with the lifestyle and not having to deal with a man who doesn't make as much as you, all right, then there's nothing wrong with you continuing as is.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of women who they're complaining or they're frustrated about they can't find a man in that tax bracket. And if they would just open up the bracket some, they might find exactly what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Love-wise.
Right. Emphasis on that. Well, thank you so much, Stefan, for coming on the podcast. It has been such a honor and a pleasure to speak with you. Finally, this has been like 4 years in the making.
Yes.
And hopefully this won't be the last time.
Absolutely.
Yes. So guys, all of Stefan's information will be in the show notes down below. He also is currently on tour.
Yes.
And his first show in the US is tomorrow.
Yes.
Which I'll be going to. I'm super excited. And yes, that ends this podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching. With that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.